Turn with me to 1 John, if you would stand with me. And we're going to read 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. And then we will look at that, and that will be our message, the text for the message this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. And I pray that as we look at this text this morning, as we look at this letter that John wrote, that you would allow us to be open to what your Holy Spirit's saying to us. And Father, that we would evaluate our lives today, and that we would check ourselves, and that we would ask questions, and that we would walk out of here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that we do know you. And so today, Lord, I pray for those who have never professed faith in you. I pray that you'd speak to them, Lord, so that they may hear your voice and respond to your call. I pray, God, for those of us who know you, that we would listen to what you'd have to say to us today, and may we be open to it, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. March 3rd of 1991 was when I entered into a fraternity of faith. And I became a member of this fraternity, and that was the day that I became a child of God, adopted into his family, and I entered into this communion with other people that has forever changed my life. That was the day that it was a Sunday, it was a Sunday evening, and I was in the youth group meeting, and the teachers were teaching us how to share our faith with our friends. And as they were teaching us how to be a witness to other people, the Holy Spirit was tapping me on the shoulder, speaking to me in my heart, saying, Grant, you know a lot about me, but you don't know me. Now, I grew up in church my whole life, and I knew all the Sunday school answers, okay? You ask me a Bible question, boom, I could answer it. And so I knew a lot about Jesus, and I knew a lot about God. I knew a lot about the Bible. And if you asked me some trivia questions, I was pretty good, and I could answer those. But there is two different things in knowing about the Lord and knowing the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit was wrestling with me, trying to get my attention, and he said, you know a lot about me, but you don't know me. And that evening, I don't know what the preacher was preaching. That might be the same story for a lot of you who the day that you gave your life to the Lord, you have no idea what the preacher said, because the Holy Spirit was just preaching right to you and drawing you out and calling you. And that evening, when the invitation was given, I was at the altar. And I said, Jesus, I am a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. Forgive me, come into my life, be my Lord. And that day was the day that I was brought into this fraternity of faith. And when we read 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 3, he wants us to know some things. Remember, we're kind of tiling this whole series, that you may know. And this morning I would say that he's writing this that you may know that you're in the fraternity of faith. I think that's extremely important. Some of you may have joined a fraternity in college. Some of you may be part of a group or a club. The greatest group that you can be a part of is the fraternity of faith. That you know when you die and leave this world that you're going to heaven, I believe is of utmost importance. I don't know about you, but I care about where I go when I die. because I know the day is coming. And I don't know the day, but I know it's coming. And so I need to be ready, and I need to know some things. And some religions will teach you that you can never have assurance. You can never have assurance if you know you're going to heaven or not. You know, just do your best, live the best you can, and maybe if you've been good enough, hopefully you make it. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is not a hope-so, think-so, maybe-so kind of faith. It's a no-so faith. And so when you leave this room this morning, you need to walk out of here knowing that you know Christ. So let's look at 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 3. It says, by this we know that we have come to know him. This word know him is more than just knowledge. By this we know this deep down inside of us. It is a mental knowledge, it's a knowledge, it's intellectual, but it's also experiential, it's also spiritual, it's also moral. It's every fabric of our being that we truly know him. It's relational. It's relational. When the Bible says know, when it uses know in the Old Testament, it said Adam knew his wife, or Abram knew his wife. We got kids in here today. We won't go into that. But that is a knowledge. That's a personal knowledge, okay? That's a relationship. That's the difference. He's writing so that we would know that we truly know the Lord. He says, here's how you can tell. Because some people, they live their lives, and they go through and they join churches, and maybe you've been in different places, and you're like, I don't even know if I'm saved, you know? I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I'm Christian. Well, we're going to look at that. And I think that's an important question to ask yourself, because we can be deceived. And so it's a valid question to ask, is do I really know the Lord? It says that we have come to know him. How many of you all have Twitter? Raise your hand if you have a Twitter account. See, now most of most people are like, I'm not raising my hand. Anytime he asks us to raise our hand, he has some purpose, and I don't know what it is. But if you have a Twitter account, those of you who have a Twitter account, let me ask you this. Do you have any celebrities that you follow? Anybody have celebrities that they follow? Okay, now, all right, so those of you got Twitter, and you got a celebrity, and you're like, oh, I'm following blah, 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 whoever it is. Now, do you know them? Do you really know them? No. I mean, if you called them up and said, hey, man, you know, it's me. It's Grant. What are you doing? They'd be like, who? What? Who are you? You know? You don't know them. Yeah, you might know about them. You might be able to get on their fan page. You might be able to know some statistics about them, some facts about them, and all this stuff about them. But you don't what? Know them. You know about them, but you know them. This morning, let me ask you this question just straight up. Do you know the Lord? Not know about him, but do you know him? And we're going to look, there's two ways in this text that we can know that if we know the Lord. Okay, so let's look at it. 1 John 1, 2, 3. By this we know that we love them if we what? Keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments. We know that we love him if we keep his commandments. Now this word keep, does that mean that we perfectly keep his commandments? No, it doesn't mean that, because just up a few verses ahead it said, and if anyone sins, he's talking to Christians, if anyone sins, you all know that we have an advocate from the Father who is Jesus. He is the righteous one who is just and will forgive us of our sins. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it means we're going to have a heart that desires to follow Jesus. There's a complete difference in having a heart that doesn't care anything at all about what Jesus says, and a heart that truly wants to follow Christ, right? When you are a child of God, when you're a Christian, your desire is not, well, what can I know about God's word and just give a flip about it? That's not your goal. Your goal is what does God's word say? What does he want me to do? That's what I want to do. That's how I want to live. That's how I want to be. A Christian has the desire to want to love and serve God. And he says, we know this. We know that we're a child of God if we keep his commandments. What are some of his commandments? Okay, love. Love people. Love God. What are some commandments? We can be a little interactive this morning. Not to lie. I can't hear you. Obey your parents. Huh? Don't steal. What's that mean, don't steal? Don't be a thief. That's a commandment. Don't steal. We say, well, most people are like, well, you know what? I don't steal. God says, when you don't bring your tithes and offerings, you rob me. Well, how do we rob you, God? Tithes and offerings. He says, you're a thief. Now, don't go there, preacher. Right? What about getting baptized? Jesus says, you know, go make disciples. How do we make disciples? How are we, by Jesus, ordered to make disciples? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. A child of God desires to know what he or she is supposed to do, and then has a heart to want to do it. So if you're a child of God and you're a believer, here's an indication, is that when God says to do something, you have a heart to want to move in that direction. You say, okay, Jesus, if that's where you want me, that's where I'm moving. If that's what you want me to do, that's what I'm trying to do. If that's what you want me to say, that's what I'm trying to say. If that's what you want me to be, that's what I'm trying to be. A child of God has a heart to move in the direction of the Lord. Not so with a false professor of faith. Because there is a difference between one who is a Christian and one who says that they're a Christian. And that's the problem. You know, a lot of people say, well, so-and-so, they're a Christian. They don't do that. Well, they may or may not be. How many of you know that just saying you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian? Just like, you know, me saying I'm a duck doesn't make me a duck, right? I can say it all I want, but I'm not. You can say you're a Christian and not be one. And that's what John writes to. He writes to people who claim one thing and are not. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, now notice he says, the one who says. This is somebody who says they are, not somebody who necessarily is. It's saying the one who says, I have come to know him and does not what? Keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He says, if you say you love the Lord, but you don't follow him, and you don't live for him, and your heart is never towards his direction, and you never have the desire to do what he says to do, John says, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. When Jesus was on the earth, and he was talking about obedience and love for the Father, here's what he says, John 14:15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what Jesus says in John 15:10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:24, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know this, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In Revelation 12:17, when all chaos is breaking loose and persecution is coming. In Revelation 12, verse 17, it says, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. And this is talking about believers who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 14, 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. You see, a true child of God understands that the Bible and his commands, they are not restrictive, but protective. That God's commands and God's ways and God and what he says for us to do and not to do is not to destroy our life, but to bless our life. It's not that God's up there in heaven and he's just some angry guy up there, you know, angry dad up there going, I tell you what, I can't stand my kids. I can't stand them. I'm going to make them do this, and I'm going to make them do that. Then I'm not going to let them do that, and I'm going to just make their lives miserable. That's not God. He is a heavenly father. He is a good father. He is a righteous father. He is a father who loves his children. And he wants the best for his children. And sometimes the reason why he says no is because it's not good for us. And sometimes the reason why he challenges and he says, you need to do this, it's because it's good for us. And we need to learn to trust him. How do we know that we know him and we're in the fraternity of faith? One is that we have love for the Father. That we love him and we completely trust him. You know, I love being a dad, and I try to be the best dad that I can. And I've got a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. And they're just at a neat age right now because, you know, Micah, especially at age 5, she thinks that I can fix anything. You know, I mean, she thinks like if there's a problem, you know, she just brings it to me. It's like, Daddy, you know, this is broke. Can you fix it? You know, it's something real simple. You just click, you know. Wow. You know, I know later on the problems get more difficult and you can't fix them. But right now, you know, she thinks I can do anything, and they think I know everything, and they look up to me, and I can tell them to do something, and they'll do it, or I can tell them not to do it, and they don't do it. And I speak into my kids' lives. I speak to them. I speak eye to eye with them, and I tell them things. I let them know. I'll say, Caleb, or I'll say, Micah. I'll say, Daddy loves you. You know that, don't you? I'll say, I love you. And anything that I ask you to do or tell you not to do, you know it's for your good, don't you? I'll say, yeah. And I'll say, well, you know, your daddy's here for you. They're like, I know that. And then I'll tell them, I'll say, you know who loves you even more than daddy loves you? Be like, who? And I'll be like, Jesus. He loves you more than I love you. And anything in his word that he tells us to do, it's for our good. It's not to hurt us. And anything that he tells us not to do, it's for our good, not to hurt us. Always, always remember that. Of course, they're 9 and 5, and I don't know how much of it's sinking in, but I'm telling that over and over and over. And here's what we need to know and realize, that we have a good dad. He's a great dad. He's our heavenly father, and he loves us, and he gives us commands. And this Bible, it is true, and it's not to beat us down, it's not to hurt us, but it is to bless us and bring us life. It is to tell us how that we can have eternal life and how we can live life here for his glory and his purpose. So know this, a child of God, we have this desire in us that we want to know what Jesus wants us to do. And though we may not always do it exactly how we should do it, we know we need to, and we know we should, because we know ultimately that our dad is good. How many of y'all know that dad is good? Amen. Let's go on and see what else he says. Verse 4. I already read that, didn't I? Verse 5. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. And by this we know that we are in him. You see, when Paul says that when we have been saved, that we've become a new creation, that new creation, that is metamorphosis. It's where we get our word metamorphosis for change. And when we become a new creation, we are in a process of change. That we aren't who we used to be, and we're moving forward to who God wants us to be. It's a life of repentance. That doesn't mean that we become perfect, but that as we're being changed, we are being perfected and more conformed into the image of God. And so we live, we receive grace through repentance, and we live a life filled of repentance. And repentance is basically this: I'm wrong, you're right, God. I'm going the wrong way. I need to go the right way, so I'll get out of the driver's seat of my life and let you drive. How many of y'all realize that sometimes you'll drive yourself into a dead end? God won't. He's smarter than we are, right? Have y'all know God knows everything, all right? I mean, he knows it all. He's omniscient. He knows every single thing, you know. Most of us had a public education, so, I mean, who's smarter? Us or God? Who knows best for us, us or God? Who knows the future, you or God? Who do you trust, you and your two, three friends that voted on it and said, yeah, we agree, or God? God. And so what we do is we need to step out of the driver's seat and let the Lord lead. And so when God's driving our life, if he moves us right, where do we move? All right, eight of you got that one. Let's try it again. If he moves you to the left, then where do you move? Okay, great. So wherever God moves us and leads us and guides us, that's where we what? Go. People say, this happens to new Christians a lot. They just get saved and they're on fire, right? They're like, man, you know, this is exciting, this is great, and I'm living my life for Jesus and wonderful things are happening. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, they're at work and somebody says something to them and they just go off. And they're like, now how did that happen? I thought I was a Christian. I ain't supposed to act like that. What am I doing? Oh, no. Put the preacher on speed dial. Boop, 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 boop. I went off at work today. Am I still saved? You know, this happens. Now, let me ask you this. When you were lost, did you ever worry about what you just did, making it say if you were a Christian or not? Or did you just tell somebody off and not care about it? You see, when you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you just go off and do something, somebody says, I don't care. You know, they were wrong, I was right. But when you're a Christian and you do something you're not supposed to, there's something in you that says, you ain't supposed to be acting that way. You better straighten up right now. You better repent, confess that. You know who that is? It's the Holy Spirit. He gives us a little swat. Little SWAT. Anybody ever get a little SWAT when they're growing up? Huh? Now, I got a few SWATs when I was growing up, right? Anybody ever had to pick their own switch? Huh? Yeah, go get your house, and you better not bring me back, something's going to break. I mean, it was anything that was close around could have been used at that moment. Wooden spoon, belt, it didn't matter, you know, just, you get here! And I needed it. We need discipline in our life. We need correction. The Bible says that if we don't discipline our children, we'll spoil them. And so we do need discipline. And the Holy Spirit disciplines us as children of God, that when we do things we ought not to do, there's that voice that speaks to us and says, Nah, you shouldn't do that. You need to go and ask for forgiveness. You need to go tell that person you're sorry. You need to go make that right with them. You need to lay that down. You need to stop doing that. You need to start doing this. That's the child of God. The child of God knows that. And we're being conformed into his image. Okay? You're not super saint once you give your life to Christ and ta-da! And you've arrived. It's a process. Do you love the Father? Do you trust him? Notice what else it says. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to what? Walk in the manner as he walked. Now, we live in a day and age where we've got all kinds of Christian paraphernalia out there, right? We've got t-shirts and we've got bumper stickers and we've got wristbands and all kinds of things. But there is this one particular wristband that some people wear. It's a WWJD bracelet, right? What does that mean? What would Jesus do? And the basis behind that is that you keep that on your wrist, and when you're in a situation or when you're in a particular environment, look at your wrist and ask yourself this question: what would Jesus do? It's not a bad question. You know, you find yourself at some place and there's things that are happening that you know is not right. Look down at your wrist. What would Jesus do? You're having an argument with somebody. You look down at your wrist. What would Jesus do? Okay, it's a good way to live your life because we are to walk like Jesus walked. A few Sundays ago, we won't go back and restate that whole message, but the question was, who do you follow? Who did Jesus follow? Well, maybe we will go back and redo this whole message. Who did Jesus follow? The Father. And as Jesus followed the Father, we are to follow who? Jesus, the Son. And so we are to walk like Jesus walked. So we ask ourselves, well, how did Jesus walk? Well, Jesus walked in complete obedience to the Father. So we are to walk in obedience to Jesus. Jesus loved the Father. So we are to love the Father. Jesus loved people. So we are to love people. Jesus demonstrated forgiveness and grace. We are to demonstrate forgiveness and grace. When we started this church from the very beginning, and we haven't changed it, and it's going to remain this way, we want to be a church that's pleasing to Jesus. So we want to be a church that would reflect Jesus to our county. So we want to be like him. We want to serve him. We want to have a heart for our county and our community and those who are lost and need him. And we want to reach those that feel like God's given up on them. Because Jesus went out to the outcast, didn't he? And so we want to welcome anybody that needs to come and hear about his grace and mercy so that they may find salvation in Jesus Christ. And so we want to walk like him. We want to talk like him. We want to live like him. We want to do what he's called us to do. Look at verse 7. Beloved, he says, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. He says, it's not new. It's not, you know, we live in a world where everything's got to be cutting edge. You know, you buy something new technology and, you know, 2 weeks later it's already outdated because they're coming out with a newer version. And it's faddish. What's the problem with fads? Fads come and go, but timeless truth remains truth forever. And what John says is, I'm going to tell you a truth that's not new. It's been around for a long time. In fact, around 4,000 years it's been around. And he says, like Deuteronomy 6:5, when the Bible says that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then Leviticus 19:18 says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a timeless truth. It's not a fad. It doesn't go out. It doesn't become unpopular in the Bible. It's a timeless truth. In fact, when Jesus walked on the earth, they asked him, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? They had 611 laws in the Old Testament. Out of the 611 laws, what is the greatest commandment? If you could help us out, you know, we need to know the Cliff Notes version of the Bible, right? You know, the Idiot's Guide to the Law, right? You know, give me that book. What is the most important commandment? And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He doesn't have to look it up on his iPhone. He doesn't have to go online and do ask.com and go, I don't know. I wonder what it is. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, I go ahead and tell you, the next one is real similar. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you, are you loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are there areas in your life that you haven't completely handed over to him? Now listen, if you're a child of God, you'll hear the Holy Spirit speak something to you. And you'll have this urge to want to lay that down and make it right. If you're not a child of God, it won't faze you a bit. In fact, you'll say, no problems in my life. No, man, I love God perfectly. I got it all going on. You deceive yourself. And so this morning, as we're preaching and as you're hearing the Word of God, invite the Holy Spirit to examine your life and say, Lord, what areas in my life am I not loving you the way I should? Look at verse 8. He says, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you. What I'm about to say, it's old, it's 4,000 years old, it's not new, but on one hand, it is new, and here's how he says it, which is true in who? In him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He says, here, it's old, but it's new in the sense that Jesus was the perfect fulfillment of that command. And he showed us exactly what that looked like. He showed us what it was like to love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. He showed us what it was like to love neighbor as self. And so when we look to Jesus and we see his life, he embodies the light of truth that we are in and that we are to live out. And so as a Christian, our heart's desire is that we keep his commandments to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors and ourselves. A child of God, a person in the fraternity of faith, has love for the Father. Do you love the Father? Do you love God? Do you love his commands? Do you love his word? Well, not only are we to love the Father, but we're also to love the family. Let's go on. Verse 9, the one who says that he is in the light, and I notice again it's saying the one who says, it's one who claims. The one who says that he's in the light, and yet what? Hates his brother, is in the darkness until now. He says, the one who says that he is in the light, the one who says that he's a Christian, but yet he hates his brother, he's in the dark. He's not a believer. He's not a Christian. You know, a lot of people, you know, look up to Gandhi and they think, well, he was just this great religious guy and this great philosopher. And he said, you know, I love your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Well, that's because only an unbeliever can make that statement. Because if you love the Father, you're going to love the family. You can't hate your brother. You can't hate your sister. You can't have hatred in your heart for somebody if you truly know the love of God. And you can't harbor bitterness and hate and animosity. And everybody says, well, wait a minute. There's always an exception to the rule. And I'm always the exception to that rule because you don't know my ex so-and-so or you don't know my uncle so-and-so or you don't know that. And it's not like I hate everybody. I only hate this one person. Surely I can just hate this one person because, I mean, probably God even hates this person too. Right? If you have love for the Father, you have love for the family. You cannot hate a brother and sister in Christ. It's a sad world that we live in. You know, churches can't get along. Christians within churches can't get along. They're fussing, fighting, bickering, arguing, talking about people, and blah, 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 all this stuff. And one person sitting on one side of the pew or in front of the pew can't get along with the person in the back pew and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And it shouldn't be that way. If you've experienced the love and transformation of Jesus Christ and the love of God, you're going to love the Father and you're going to love the family, his children. If you don't like my kids, you're going to have a problem liking me. Because if you're not good to my kids, I might not be good to you. Right? We love one another. John, the elder here, the beloved disciple, he's telling the church, y'all need to love one another. You need to get along. That doesn't mean you're going to necessarily like everything everybody does, or somebody's not going to get on your nerves, right? I mean, because just, you know, some of you are just annoying, right? And for some of you, I'm annoying to you, right? And weren't supposed to say that too loud there. Because we're all not always going to agree on certain things, but we're going to love one another, right? We never allow things to get us in an argument, fight, and bicker that it destroys the unity of our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. All right? So we love one another. Okay? Look at the next 10. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Okay? So let me ask you. Do you love the Father? And do you love his family? Are you at odds with anybody? Is there anybody that you're at odds with that you just hate and you harbor this hatred in your heart? If you're a child of God, he's going to tap on you today. He's going to speak to you today. He's going to say, you need to lay that down because it will destroy you. It will kill you. Verse 11. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Anybody ever been to Carter Caves or Mammoth Caves or someplace? Well, you can go to Carter Caves, and I think I was on a school trip one day, and they're giving us a tour through one of the caves, and they brought us all in this big area of the cave, and the guide was like, all right, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn out the lights. We're going to let you see how dark it is in the heart of the earth. Don't get scared. Don't freak out. Keep your hands to yourself. And he said, you will not be able to see your hand even if you hold it up to your face. Of course, you know, like you're like in grade school, and you're like, right, you know, so you're sitting there, got your hand there ready, and they turn out the lights. Where'd my hand go? You couldn't see it. It was that dark. That's what John is saying, is someone who doesn't know God, but someone who says that they know God, but yet they're walking in hatred. The one who says that they know God, but yet they're not walking and living according to his commandments. They're like someone walking around in such a dark place that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Walking in darkness. Some people today, some of you today, you are walking in darkness. Okay? You may have come here because maybe finally, you know, your wife got you here, or your husband got you here, or maybe a friend finally got you here, and you're like, man, I don't know about this whole God thing. I'm not sure about who Jesus really is. And what he wants you to know today is that he is real and that he is true. Amen. And he wants to shine his light on you so that you can see truth today. Yeah. Truth is in Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Today, some of you need to come to that and say, you know what? I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. Some of you need to come to that realization today and step out of the darkness and come into the light. Some of you need to experience his transforming grace. I was listening to a pastor. He was telling about a baptism that he was getting ready for. And they were back in the back getting ready for the baptisms. And he walks back there, and there's these two ladies that are hugging one another. They're embracing one another, and they're just crying. And he's like, oh, my gosh, what's going on, you know? So he goes up, and he's like, everything okay? And they said, yeah, everything is great. They said, we work together. and we hate each other. We hated each other. And we didn't even know we went to the same church because they had three services. He said, but now we know that we both love the Father and we've been made right with one another. This is an amazing thing. Because there's an amazing thing that happens when God touches your heart. He puts in a love in you that you didn't even know you had. And He'll help you to love people that you think you cannot love. He'll help you to walk with people you normally wouldn't walk with. And He does amazing things in your life. Some of you today, you're believers. And there is friction, maybe. And it needs to be made whole. And so today I'd ask that you'd make that whole. Two areas. Love with the Father, love with the family. Evaluate your love for the Father. Let Him work on you. Evaluate your love with the family. Let Him work on you. And if there's someone you need to make something right with, go make it right. Make it well, make it whole in the love of Jesus. What do you think? If you need to come to know Jesus as Lord, come this morning. Say, Grant, I need to know Christ. And we'll get that taken care of this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for today. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us a record of who You are. And that You have spoken to us, that we don't have to wonder where You are, but that You are present right here with us. And Lord, You're moving up and down the aisles and You're speaking to hearts. And there are some folks that just, they need some healing this morning. There are some hurts that need to be healed. There are some habits that need to be healed. There is some heartache that needs to be healed. There are some relationships that need to be restored. Whatever needs to happen, God, we ask for a move of God to take place in our hearts. And that You can bring us into Your light. Father, there might be someone here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior. Would they come and say, Jesus, I need You. Save me. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Whosoever will, for whatever reason, this morning, would you come?
At the cross where You died for